All right, we're live. Valero, Texas Open. Have the best shirt that's ever been on Tap and Birdie in all its history. We have RB here tonight with his Charlie Hoffman Open shirt. What's the backstory on the shirt? Like, what's going on with that?
This is from my buddy G-Mac on Twitter. He's buddies with Charlie Hoffman. I think he's actually caddied for him a couple of times, but he made these shirts a couple of years ago and was nice enough to send one my way.
It's pretty epic. I mean, it's pretty good. It's a very niche shirt, like golf Twitter, like circa like 2007. 2017. That was my mistake. That I'm sure that shirt was popping like on Twitter.
There are not many of them in existence. So good to bust it out this week.
So how are you feeling like this Monday? Hit two winners last week. You know, I woke up to text from you to win like $100,000 on guys I've never heard of. Like the money's just burning a hole in your pocket. Like where did that Sunday rank on Sundays for you?
It was good. You know, like I bet a lot of Euro Tour, obviously, there's a lot of heartbreak, especially every Sunday. So
because they really all good. Suck and they can't close.
Exactly. And it was really good, you know, fairly stress free. The Euro guy we had, Nick Basham, he led by four or five for a lot of Sunday. So it's pretty stress free. Wallace was also stress free because I thought he was out of it. I turned it on late. He birdied like 13, 14, 15, 16 and suddenly was up by two. And that was that. So it's nice when those days happen because they are few and far between.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, golf betting is all pain. Like, it's all suffering. Like, it's all just losing money. Like, it's been pretty dim. Like, there was a point when, like, Scotty was up on Burns, and, like, you hadn't, or you maybe hit one winner at that point. Yeah. I was, like, just planning on coming on TIB and just, like, talking about how, like, golf betting is, like, broken and it sucks. And, like, the same guys win every week and it's not enjoyable. But like you can't relate. Like you're just hitting winners.
I mean, PGA's been pretty bad. I mean, I think Corrales was more like a DP World Tour event anyways. Yeah.
But Wallace was like a very good pick, a very straightforward pick. Like
he led tee to green at Valspar, like the most straightforward pick ever. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was pretty good. So you know, we're talking about the PGA Tour season. Like, you've been betting on the PGA Tour a lot for a long time. Does this season, like, up to Augusta feel any different? Like, does it feel harder to hit winners this year? Or, like, do I just suck? Like, what is kind of your take on this season so far compared to other seasons and just kind of, your experience?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like last season, except last season it was all Scotty, right? And this year it's Scotty plus Rom pretty much winning every event with a little Rory, with a little Homa. So, yeah, it's been really tough because I'm not going to bet those guys very often. So they've won 90% of the events since January, essentially. The other one was Kurt Kitayama, who pretty much nobody was on for very obvious reasons. So, yeah, it's been tough, but you know, that's why we bet each ways. And that's why you bet top tens. And that's why you bet matchups. Like my picks last week were dead once Jason Day lost, but I bet Burns against Cantlay. I bet him against Scheffler and I bet him against Cam Young. And like that pretty much covered the week. So.
Yeah, no, I like kind of go back and forth like on it. Like I think each ways like are really good idea and a good thing to do, especially if you have access to Bet Rivers. But it's tough to, in my opinion, to like bet all your guys top 20 and top 10.
Yeah.
Because as you know, it's so easy to just have a horrible week and like you would just be down your normal amount if they don't win, which is like every single week. But then it's like, oh, and like I put like match play was fine. Like, I mean, it wasn't fine for me. I Venmoed my bookie a lot of money last week. It's okay. It's all good. I can afford it. I was up last week. Like last year in my notes, like I was like, do not bet group winners. Like, do not bet group winners. Like, it's a very volatile thing. Like, it's very hard to pick the winner. And literally Tuesday night, I'm like, you know, whatever. Like, I like, let me just throw like 250 on Hatton to win his group. Like, yeah, everyone in his group is horrible. Like, he's playing unbelievable. Like, just 250 to win 300. Like, just they'll cover me for the week. Like, there's no way Hatton doesn't get through. And like 10 minutes into Wednesday, I'm like, okay, that was a mistake. Like, I truly regret that decision, but it's okay. You know, this is golf betting. Sometimes we like to gamble and we make unfortunate decisions, but you know, it's okay. Well, the winner's around the corner.
Yeah. Like, I think, so I agree with you. I don't like the group betting for that, because at that point, just bet the matchups, right? Like, you had multiple guys over the last couple of years who went like 2-0-1 in their pod, right? They didn't lose a match, and then they lose the playoff.
Yep.
So like, I'd rather just bet a couple matchups instead of trying to figure out who comes out of the group.
Yeah, but we don't have to worry about it for next year. Were you locked into the match play? Did you get to watch a lot of the match play? I know
not until the weekend.
No, yeah, not until the weekend. Yeah, I mean, I thought Saturday was excellent. Saturday is one of like the best days. I really enjoy it. A lot of matches going on. A lot of big names. Like, it's really enjoyable. And then Sunday morning, I'm like, waking up hungover, and like in my golf group chats are like, oh my God, did you see that shot? I'm like, fuck, I gotta get out of bed. And it was awesome. Like, it truly was excellent. Scheffler and Burns going at it, like a back and forth match. And then Rory and Young, like, it was just really, really excellent golf. And everyone's like, how could they ever get rid of this event? Like, this is amazing. Yeah. Like, and then, you know, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm obviously watching the golf for the rest of the day. And like an hour into you know, the final match, I'm like, this is extremely boring. This is not a good television product. This is not good for the fans. This is supposed to be peak viewing time. And it's like, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense why, you know, the sponsors don't want this event and why it's going away. Like, you know, it has its really great moments, but, you know, for the fans and for the viewers on Sunday afternoon, it just really doesn't hit usually.
Yeah, I think so. There's a couple things, right? One is you can have a really good matchup like you had that's just a blowout, right? That happens. It's match play. It's exactly what happened yesterday. You could have a dud of a final. Like, if that final was like Mac Hughes against JJ Spahn, right? Like, that's the sponsor nightmare. They don't want to see that. But also, like, even if you have really good matchups, which we had for the final four, like, there's four guys on a golf course. Yeah. There's not that many shots, right? It's a lot of the talking heads. It's a lot of commercials. Like, you have to figure out, one, either how do we just have more guys still on the golf course, right? Or two, how can we make this more engaging? Like, if they turned it into, like, I don't know, like the match where they're all mic'd up and doing things, like, maybe you can make it better. But with only four guys or two guys on the golf course, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and, you know, again, like, Sunday is when you sell the most tickets. Sunday is when the most people are at the golf tournament. And I don't know, but I assume it's going Sunday to that tournament sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it can't be that enjoyable. Like, so I think there's a lot of things going against it. I do think it's a good change of pace. Like, again, we have the same exact thing every single week. Like, I don't think there's anything like wrong with it. Like, I think that they should try and get it back in like 2025, but they got to figure something out. But I don't think it's as simple as, oh my God, like Sunday morning was like the best thing ever. Like, they can't get rid of it, where, you know, a lot of people like were definitely turned off Sunday afternoon. So, you know, it's fine. The PGA Tour will figure it out. I'm not losing any sleep over it. Are you, RB? Like, any sleep?
No, I mean, it was a nice change of pace. But again, like, the last 8 hours or 7 hours weren't that interesting. So,
yeah, it's tough. So, you know, we're kind of getting into Masters season. You know, everything's ramping up for Augusta. We obviously have this tournament in between. Anyone that goes on your profile obviously knows that you had some success at the November Masters. We've never really talked about it. I just kind of wanted you to take me through what happened, like how you made that lineup, the sweat on Sunday. Like, what was that like for you winning 200K at the Masters in DFS?
Yeah, I mean, so one, I'll say it was very lucky. I mean, if you look at the lineup, it's crappy for one. I played a very chalky DJ, but he won, so you needed him.
Yeah.
And then So, I mean, the lineup winner was Cam Smith, right? That's when he was cheap. He wasn't really that popular. He wasn't that good at the time. He was pretty popular that week. He was the last guy in my lineup. Like, I did not have him in. He was like a last minute click. So again, kind of blind luck there. But I did not open the DK app on Sunday. I had some trouble with that. I had other people who were watching it for me, but the biggest sweat. So my first guy out on Sunday was Cam Champ. Right. And
wait, so how many lineups did you have in the contest? You had one.
Yep. I play one lineup. Like, that's what I do. It doesn't matter if I'm playing the 20, if I'm playing the 200 single entry, if I'm playing the 555, I play one lineup, you know?
Okay. So that was the one. Okay. That makes it way more impressive. Okay. So you had one lineup. What point in the week were you like hovering? Like, I know Sunday you didn't look at your phone, but like, mm-hmm. what were your positions like before?
Starting that? Thursday. I had a great Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. We struggled Friday, but they were all like inside the cut line and like, it was fine. But like, I was either in third or fourth after the first day and pretty much was in the top 20 the whole time. But yeah, on Sunday, my first guy out was Cam Champ. He wasn't in contention at all. So you just needed him to score, right? Which he had been scoring all week. I think he birdied the first three holes. And then he made like a triple on one of the par threes, number four or number six. And then I don't know if, well, I guess you probably don't remember this because why would you sweat Cam Champ? He made a quad on 12 on Sunday. So he had a triple and a quad on Sunday. But again, I didn't need the place points. I just needed birdies. I think he had 7 or 8 birdies that day. So yeah, more than enough.
Wow.
And then Cam Smith got the under 70 bonus, which was kind of the final nail in the coffin.
So what, like, so you like purposely didn't check your app on Sunday because you just didn't want, like,
I couldn't
what?
Do it.
You just couldn't do it.
Like, there's certain swing. Like, look, I played poker forever. You know, I gambled. I know what swings are. I've had very big swings, but that was like a 200K swing. You know, that was a little bit bigger. Yeah. So it was great. No, I didn't check one time on Sunday until it was over. So,
and would you consider that the peak of your gambling life? Like, nothing will ever be as good as that.
I mean, I don't know, not for DFS. Yeah, for sure. For DFS, you know, that's, okay. I'm not going to win more than 200K playing DFS, but stuff that has more skill involved, like golf betting and like playing poker, things like that. Probably before you even started following golf, or maybe you were still following golf like 4 or 5 years ago. And I was thinking about, because Matt Wallace was involved. I had a double, Matt Wallace on the Euro Tour with Patrick Reed at the Valspar. Wallace won in Europe. It was like a 3,000-to-1 parlay. Wallace wins in Europe that morning, and Reed is tied for the lead coming down 18 at Valspar with Paul Casey, and he three putts 18. I don't know if you remember
didn't
that
get
one,
it up
but
the hill.
It was one that goes up the hill.
Yeah, like telling him up the hill. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Cost me like 50 grand because I didn't hedge at all. That was a long time ago. That would have been the
you didn't have like 20K like at disposal way. To just like drop on Paul Casey.
No. And of course it was Paul Casey, who's like my most hated golfer ever.
Is that why you hate Paul Casey?
I mean, one of the reasons, I was never on the right side of Paul Casey. Okay, and then every time he was chalk at like 7,800 in a major, he finished fifth, you know, very painful.
Got it. So I you know, we're in Masters mode. Like you're, you know, I just kind of want a history lesson. Why don't people believe that DJ fell down the stairs prior to the 2017 Masters? Or do like people believe that? Like, what is the story there? I was just like on a deep wiki dive today. Like, I obviously like kind of remember that happening, but like, what, like, why don't people believe that happened?
I think so. It came kind of on the heels of everything else that was going on with him. Like, he is one, you know, he had the suspension that people think he was suspended, but he said he was just taking some time off for like a failed drug test, things like that. There's always rumors swirling with Paulina, obviously. And I think a lot of that stuff has calmed down, but that morning was just so random because, like, you know how the Masters is, everything's quiet. Nobody really knows what's going on. And like, we're just like watching the live stream from the driving range, right? Of guys warming up. And they're just like, Dustin Johnson's not playing.
And he like won his last three events and was like probably like 8-1 to win.
Was by far the best player in the world. Yeah, not even close.
And like killed DK, like killed betting. Like it was a massive deal.
Huge. Yeah.
Like
huge.
It would be like Scotty, Rory, or Rahm withdrawing.
Yeah, and just the story. And like I think it takes, you know, a certain type of personality for those stories to come out. But at that time it was kind of believable. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And then, like, he said, like, if it happened on Monday, like, he would have been fine. He was like, yeah, I'll be fine in, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed odd, all of the circumstances
it was, around that. Very odd. Very odd.
And then, what year did Tony Finau roll his ankle?
It's a good question. Was that...
Like 2018, and he played well after that.
Oh, he played great after that. Yeah, that was 2018. Yeah, and then I think he finished 10th. I think he was in the top 10. And then the very next year, he was in the final group with Tiger and Molinari.
Yeah.
And but, like we'll and talk about Finau,
and he's winning this year.
No.
Do you have any what Masters action do you have going right now?
I have one bet so far.
Okay. What is
it? It's
that?
Not very fun. It is okay. a 10-1 on John Rahm from like a month or two ago. That's it.
I mean, there's there's like some value there.
So look, a Masters is very weird, right? Because like you have the course history angle. Everyone knows who the favorites are. Everyone's going to bet the same guys or want to bet the same guys. So it's like the one major that I would never really make futures for it, right? Because like anybody who you like, who's not named Scotty, Rory, Rahm is going to drift starting Monday and Tuesday. Like, you could bet Xander at 25 or Finau at 25. I guarantee you, you'll see a Finau at 33 or 35 next week.
Yeah.
Maybe 40. You'll see a Xander at 30 or 33, and you'll be like, why the hell is Xander 33? So, and like, I'm going to talk about it, but I think there's a possibility that those three guys don't win. And I think there's a lot of steam and very trendy picks in like Cam Young and Sam Burns and even Patrick Cantlay to an extent. I know you're a Cantlay guy. I'm not. But like, this is the perfect year for like a Finau or a Xander to slide in under the radar, steal
away. But you bet Rahm at 10-1.
Well, because look, he's one of the big three. I knew that number wasn't going to last. And that's when he was playing way better than everybody
else.
It's
really tough because, again, if you like care about like outright betting and like how to actually do it correctly, you can literally bet one of those guys and like maybe one guy like above 50, like literally. But
that's why we bet each way. Like I will probably, I'm guessing at some point next week, I will have Finau and or Xander on the card. I will only bet them with places, right? There's just like, it's just not worth it not to do it at that point.
Yeah, it's just really tough because like you look at the Masters board right now and you're just like, okay, like, everyone thinks it's going to be one of Rory, Rahm, or Scotty. I think you can cross out Scotty. I really don't think Scotty's going to win. The only person to do it in the 21st century is Tiger. There have been, you know, whatever, 23 Masters champions that have all been unbelievable golfers. And, like, I just don't think Scotty's going to win back-to-back. I think you could throw it out. I do think Rahm, of the three, probably has the best chance, in my opinion. Just kind of like looking at it now. This isn't a Masters pod. Do you take anything from Rory like having like 19 putts and shooting like a 62 there, like earlier, like this week? Like do you take anything away from that? Like, do you think Rory McIlroy has a better chance of winning the Masters this year than any of the past, I don't know, like five Masters?
I mean, I don't know. He's playing arguably as well as he's ever played. I will say that. But like, so is everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
I think they're all appropriately rated. And I think, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those three win. I will say I would be shocked at the end of Rahm's career if he didn't have at least one Masters. I would not be shocked at the end of Rory's career if he didn't have a Masters.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, that's why I think Rahm has probably the best chance of the three. But again, just Masters betting, like, if you like genuinely like you can really bet one of those guys and like that's it. And it's like really, really tough because you go down the board. It's like, yeah, was this guy like actually gonna win? And like, I just can't, like, it just hasn't really been like that where like all the three top three are just like 8-1.
And like, look at how the year's gone, like Rom, Scotty. Like,
yeah. That's just, yeah. And like, that's whenever they're all. My friend Adam always says, like, whenever they're all together, like, one of them wins, other than last week with Sam Burns. Did you have any FOMO on Burns last week? Like, any
I did, which is, well, yeah, because I was, like, all in the previous week at Valspar. And that's why I kind of bet the matchups all week. Because I was like, you know what? I didn't get the Burns 40 or 42 that everyone had. So I'll just win my plus 150 and, you know, for the next 3 days and call it a day.
Yeah, I thought Burns was like a really, really excellent pick. Like, I thought it was like a really, like, sharp, really good pick just because of the fact that he was very popular for a little bit because he was drifting to these very large numbers and a lot of people were on him for those. And he obviously disappointed, played well at the Players, obviously got back into form at the Valspar, and then obviously he's probably like a top five putter on the PGA Tour, and the irons are back, and he just looked fantastic. And I think he really needed a big dick win on his resume. Like, Colonial is probably his best win, like after a major. So I'm glad he got like a really good win. Definitely a lock for the Ryder Cup. I think there were maybe some concerns, you know, a week or two ago that he wouldn't be on, but there's no doubt.
Lock of locks.
He will be. Yeah. He'll be on. Zal's out. He's not going to be on the Ryder Cup, like, zero chance. He's washed now, so that's good. But I guess we kind of
speak it into existence, right?
Yeah, I guess we kind of bullshit enough. Like, I guess we can talk about the Valero Texas Open this week. What are your overall thoughts about this event? Have you had success here? Like, I know you are one of like the, not like a deej, but like, you'll bet every single event and like you don't care at all. Like, for sure. are you fine with a week like this? Like, it's all good.
Yeah, I actually like these weeks. Like, I liked Corrales last week, and I like the Honda Classic. You probably like the Honda Classic too. Like, that's
Like, that's, I enjoy the Honda Classic
like
very much.
Because like yeah, that shit's really random. But like, you get guys like a Matt Wallace, who's like, you know he's one of probably the five best players in the field, and the talent will come through. So I don't like this golf course per se, but I like what it does in that everybody can play here, right? Like, you've seen ball strikers and accurate players like Spahn and like Kevin Chappell and like Corey Connors, but then like, you've seen the studs do well here. Brooks did well here. Finau did well here. I think you can get away with a lot of different things. I do think you have to be able to drive it well and specifically stay out of trouble. But you don't really need to blast it, right? Like, I mean, Bo Hostler almost won here. Matt Kuchar loves this place. Chris Kirk loves this place. I think you can get around. So anybody can win here. Like, we've seen a ton of long shots here. I don't remember, was Spahn like 200-1 last year?
Yeah, it was like 200-1. Yeah,
he was, like, yeah, you've seen a lot of very, very long shots, and that's where I went this week. So
yeah, no, I know your card averaged out to about 100-1. You know, not spending any money up top. But yeah, I do think this is the week to do it, and I do think that it provides good value in the fact that, you know, there's not a lot of golfers you have to be like, oh, this guy has to beat John Rahm. This guy has to beat Scotty. Like, this guy has to beat a, like, injured Tyrrell Hatton. And, like, that's it. Like, literally, like, that is it. Like, this is, if your guy can't win here, then, like, I just don't know where he can win. I know you're not betting any of these guys. Hatton 13, like, I don't think people are really gonna go there or bet him at all. I obviously Sunday night, doing a lot of odds projections, running models, running simulators, like looking at stuff. And I basically thought that Ricky was gonna be like 20-1, like 18-1. He is, but early on Bet365 this morning, he was 24-1. Barely my eyes were open, and I was like, I'm betting Ricky this week at 24-1. I think that is a good number. Obviously, the narrative about Ricky this week is that if he wins, he gets into the Masters. Yeah. Again, I that's not really my reasoning for betting him. I think that he's just been playing some excellent golf this year, and the approach numbers are really, really good. And that was kind of the key thing you needed to, you know, kind of identify Spawn last year, is that he had a really good approach start in his last start. You know, Ricky, the last time he was in a truly awful field with, like, just no one around, he finished runner-up at the Zozo. Mm. Like, I just think that, like, if he can't win this event, he really can't win. And he's played well here. He has two top 20s here. I just think he's going to pay it off with a win. It will be a feel-good story for the PGA Tour. So I'm in on Ricky at 24-1. And I feel good about it. Should I not? Should I not feel good about Ricky Fowler winning a golf tournament?
I mean, yeah, like, I think for most of this year, obviously, he's been lumped into that sort of Jason Day category, right? Guys who kind of found their way back, feel-good story. Yeah, like, there's no reason not to root for him. And like you said, he's been playing great. The iron play has been good. The putting's been solid. I still have concerns off the tee, right? That's sort of his thing. He's a little bit inconsistent off the tee. He's plenty long. That's not the issue anymore. But he doesn't hit a ton of fairways. He's kind of up and down off the tee. And I think this is the kind of place where you can get into some trouble. I would have like, look, he's been super consistent. But like you said, he really only contended at the Zozo, right? Yep. He's got, you know, 10th, 15th, 20th, like, he's got solid finishes, but I just haven't seen enough of, like, hey, you're about to win. So I'm going to avoid that at about 20-1 this week.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand. It's tough to, you know, deposit $150 to bet Ricky Fowler. Like, but he is the guy I like most at the top, out of kind of like the guys under 30-1, Ricky, Connor, Siwoo, Riley, Montgomery, Decky, Kirk. Like, who do you kind of like out of that group? Who do you think will play well this week?
So, from just a raw talent standpoint, I would say the best pick there is probably Hideki. But again, you have the ever-present injury concern, so who the hell knows? I'm not betting an injury-prone Hideki at 20-1, right? It's just not happening. So if I did bet anybody up there, it probably would have been Davis Riley. I saw some 30s, maybe a 32 or a 34 somewhere. He just seems like he's due, right? The ball striking's come back recently, long enough off the tee, pretty inconsistent putter, but he also won on this golf course, on the Korn Ferry Tour. So I think that will probably boost the ownership and boost the number of bets we see. He's just not somebody that I can trust at, you know, 28-1 though.
Yeah, no. And like, I think it's, like, again, you're going to have the concerns with everybody. Like, I think it's similar to, like, the Valspar, like, 2 weeks ago. Like, Taylor Moore legitimately never contended on the PGA Tour once. Yeah. And he just kind of, like, backed into a win. Like, JJ Spawn, like, he had to, like, beat Max Kucher and Bo Hostler and, like, Dylan Fratelli down the stretch. It's, you're not asking for much. So, like, this is the spot where people need to get it done. I really like Siwoo Kim. Like, I think it's a bet. Like, he played really well last week other than getting killed by Cooch. I can bet him at 22-1. Like, I couldn't really do much after that. I'm going to have to see. I don't really know if Siwoo is going to win twice this year. That is the only reason I don't think Siwoo will win, is because he got his win for the year. Like, that, other than that, like, I think Siwoo is a fine play. I might play him in one and done because I've been off on one and done and I don't want him to play well. So I'm just going to, like, curse him in one and done. Like, that could be a good strategy for me if I don't want to bet it. You think Cooch, like, this seems like a great spot for Kucher. And people are betting him a lot. And 33-1 is, like, a high number.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same argument. Like, again, he's been good. But, you know, his spike weeks are pretty, I guess they're pretty sporadic. And it's usually putting, right? Like, hey, is Kucher going to gain 7 strokes putting this week? Maybe. But, yeah, like, this is a perfect course for him. Both him and I guess probably Siwoo. I think they hit the most fairways of any of these guys at the top. So I like that by default on a course like this, where you can get stuck in those trees and woods. Like, we saw Kevin Na get stuck here a few years ago. So, I don't hate Matt Kuchar this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go, anytime you're, like, considering betting Matt Kuchar, like, you should just bet Brendan Todd, because they always play well on the same places. He was, like, I wrote him up last night. Like, he was the guy Sunday night. Like, I'm betting Todd this week. I got a 50-1. You can get him at 48. I think it's a great number. Like, Todd, it sounds weird to say, but, like, he actually, like, pops. And, like, he actually has upside. I think he has, like, six top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour since last year at this event. Runner up at Pebble Beach earlier this year, like had a decent chance to win that tournament if Rose didn't like go completely nuclear. Top 10 here last year, runner up finish at Charles Schwab, Texas. Like that's all you need. Like it's in Texas. He played well in Texas. I think Todd's due for another one. And if people are betting Matt Kuchar at 30-1, like I'd rather just take the 20 points and bet Brendan Todd. So Todd's my guy this week. I'm feeling good about the Todd father.
I think I'm with you. I didn't get there. I just didn't bet anybody that low, but I definitely like Brendan Todd. I think my concern about him, right, is it really takes a specific week and a specific type of golf course, like a Colonial, like a Pebble Beach, something where, you know, you hitting fairways and greens and making every single putt is going to make the difference. So, yeah, I think he's okay here for sure.
So do you think Cam Davis is back?
I mean, is one event enough to erase the rest, I guess? I think, was he the one who had like sinuses or something going on the West Coast?
He just said he was ill. Like he just said yeah. He like wasn't. Like
so maybe that's it. But like even so, like these last couple of weeks where he played better was like, I don't know, a lot of putting, a lot of short game and putting, which I don't know. I mean, one, two, three, he had like six miscuts in a row. I don't know. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he's completely
bad. I'm not a huge Cam Davis guy, you know, anyways. So
no, yeah. That's fine. You bet Matt Wallace, you're going back to him. I think the only real I'm sure you were like before he was in contention, you were like, I'm betting him at Valero. Like you were in on him before he won in Punta Cana. Am I wrong?
I mean, it was more of a number. Like I thought he'd be 35-1 this week. In some places he was. And then our generous friends at Bet Rivers who offer places gave us 66. Like I just don't think he should be 66. He also finished third here a couple years ago.
To speak,
played this golf course really well. Obviously, won last week, and that obviously wasn't a fluke. You know, he's won a ton, and he led tee to green at Valspar. So, I just think it was a bad number. Why not?
It's pure numbers play, plus EV, as we would say.
Pure numbers play. Yeah,
love it. Okay, I'll give you. Okay, of the random Euro guys that can't win, Fox can win. Fox, Norin, Højgaard, Dietrich.
Yep.
Who do you like the most out of those jabronis that can't win?
Are we including value here with their numbers?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, Norin is dead.
Norin has no shot.
He is last. I don't mind the number on your boy Tommy Dietz, but I don't think I need to explain the issue with betting Thomas Dietrich.
No, I'm out. Like he just doesn't win. Out. Like I hate Thomas Dietrich. You were right. I was wrong. Like you're smart. I'm dumb. Like he's genuinely horrible. The fact that I wagered money on him last week over Matt Wallace, like that was really dumb. Dietrich, as you would say, you know, can't spell his name at 50-1. Like I'm out on Dietrich. Like I'm just out. He can't.
Yeah. Win. So, like, I would say probably Nikolai Højgaard is probably, like, the one who I would trust the most, even more than Ryan Fox to an extent, because Fox just can't putt.
Yeah, that was now, tough. That was really...
Like, I don't think... Yeah, and, like, Nikolai can't putt that well either, but he's a little bit better. And, again, he's young. He's already won a couple of times. He's playing for the Ryder Cup.
Is he better than his brother? Who is the better Højgaard?
Probably Rasmus, but again, they go up and down. Like right now, it's clearly Nikolai.
Nikolai playing in these events, but Rasmus isn't?
Great question.
You don't how is Rasmus even in this event?
Nikolai is in this event because of his top 10 last week at Corrales. Okay,
got it.
Okay. They gave some random invites for Corrales, which he got, but I did notice Rasmus finished tied 18th here last year. So I don't know, maybe his brother will give him some course knowledge. But he'd be the one that I think, like, I would not be surprised if he contended again this week.
So he's one of your faves this week.
Yeah,
for sure. Of those random Euro guys that can't win. Also, I know Sky was on him. I know you bet, like, super early. Like, how did you land on that DP guy?
Probably, yeah. So Sky's been betting him for a few weeks. You know, okay. He's one of the Challenge Tour graduates. So like every winter we do a podcast with me, him, and Axis where we dive into the Challenge Tour graduates. So he was just one of the guys. And I mean, we always really focus on stroke gain off the tee, right? Who are the guys that hit it the longest and the straightest off the Challenge Tour? Because that skill set is going to translate more than anything else. And he was like the top, he's probably the best, maybe the number two driver on the Challenge Tour last year, and he's just been playing solid. So happened to catch him at the right time.
So give me like a PGA comp, like give me like a, like hitting who on the PGA Tour would have been like hitting him last week.
Yeah, I mean, really any, like, I mean, any of these Korn Ferry graduates who like we knew were going to be good. Like, I don't know, like I think Sam Stevens is really good. I think that's a guy who's going to win at some point. Like even Dylan Wu, like he doesn't have the off the tee stuff, but like his skill set and how he played last year and how he's played, like, I think that's a natural progression for those guys. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, any of the top four or five Korn Ferry graduates is kind of what I would look at.
And he was just at a really good number. Like that seemed like a good number.
And a golf course that we saw last year was all bombers. Like all of the long South African guys like Wilco, right? All those guys contended. So you kind of knew that was the model last week.
Perfect. Yeah. Checks out. You're on Pendy. He was pretty bad last week. Well, what's up with Pendy?
Pendy's been bad for a while. again, I'm going to chalk this up to a numbers play. If I told you last year in a weak field that Taylor Pendrith is going to be 66-1, you'd be running to bet him, right?
100%.
And like we know he's healthy. He came off the injury last year and came back and basically was a top 10 and top 5 machine. So I think he's okay. He didn't play well last week, but he did shoot a second round 66. So again, like I'm obviously cherry picking stuff there. He also finished second here to Davis Riley on the Korn Ferry Tour. So that plus a 66 last week, plus the number, like I think that's enough to get me on with a guy that I know is going to win. He's really good.
Okay. Love it. Yeah, I think people were pretty turned off by like scrolling. I don't know how many people were scrolling to the bottom of the Corrales leaderboard last week, like 1-800, if that was you. It was me, definitely. And people were just like, wait, Pendy's like almost like dead last.
I was scrolling the Korn Ferry Tour because I wanted to see, you know, Ollie and Brandon Harkins and all these guys that I've been betting.
Who won on Korn Ferry last week?
David Skins, the guy.
Is he good?
He won a Korn Ferry event 2 years ago and got his tour card, but then he lost his tour card. So, no, he's old, British.
He's
not
old.
That good.
He's old. Okay. Just like random guy.
Random old guy, yeah.
Okay. Sick. You're on Shea. You're going back to Shea. Numbers play or like Shea can win this week? Shea Botts, as we call him.
Both. I was shocked that we saw triple digits, right? Yeah. And his week last week is going to fly under the radar a little bit. You're like, oh, you know, he was T24 at Corrales, whatever. And again, I don't know how reliable the information is, but he was like near the top in driving accuracy. He was near the top in greens and regulation. Like, those are the only stats that I have to work with. And, you know, top 25 on the PGA Tour, like you're playing pretty well. I don't really care who you're playing against. You're playing pretty well. And he's had those couple of Korn Ferry Tour finishes recently, fourth and seventh. He was second at Puerto Rico. So like the guy's playing well, right? And like we know the talent. I got 125. A lot of people got 100 this morning. Like it's a great number for your boy.
Yeah, I think that he is someone that if you bet him at all, like you just bet him every week. Like I don't really think you can like pick and choose his spots. I was getting some texts from some friends like that, like Akshay, and was like, I didn't bet him, like when he like went, like she went out in 28, was like, what the hell, like I didn't bet him this week. I'm like, what? Like you just bet him every single week, like there's no off and on with that. Patton Kizire, he could play well, huge Texas guy, shout out RK. I like SH Kim. I think he's good. I don't think he can win, but I'll bet him. Sepp Straka 100. That seems pretty high.
He's like broken too, though.
Yeah, but like he always like. Do you think he'll be on the Ryder Cup team?
Not anymore.
He's out.
I mean, right now he's like, I was going through it. Like there's eight locks for that team, and then like I think your boy Simi Pau is going to be there.
Simi Pau, Hundy. Hundy P. Shami Pau.
I still think they're going to let Alex Noren onto the team by default.
Is Rose one of your locks?
Yes.
Okay, sweet.
And like, honestly, now they're going to be looking at Matt Wallace. You know, he was definitely not really on the radar, but he is firmly on the radar now. And I think it's a great golf course for him too. So, yeah, like Sepp, you know, Bobby Mack, both of the Hogards, like that's the right, group.
Obviously, Hans, like it's easy to say now, you're taking Wallace over Bobby Mack.
Yes.
Easy.
I think they might both be there, but if I had to pick one, yes.
Do either of the Hoygaards get on?
I'm going to say no, and then I think they're going to make every Ryder Cup for the next 10 years. So.
Okay. Who is – I don't know if you've dived in. Who is your 12th guy on the U.S. team right now? Let's say Zal's on it.
Well, so right now he's not a 12th man because he's an automatic qualifier. I think it's Kurt Kitayama.
Really?
He's an automatic qualifier right now, by the way. He's number 6 in points.
Yeah, but like, I don't think it will be like that.
The Ryder Cup's not too far away. He's done well.
I feel like before Whistling Straits, like there were like a lot of players that like could have.
So there's going to be, there's a group of like 3 guys who are going to be there for that last spot. I think he's like, it's like Kurt, Tom Hoagie, Billy Horschel, like one of those guys is going to be on the team, even if Zalatoris gets on. Like, I feel like Zalatoris is like number 11, right? And then it's like Hoagie, Harris English, Billy Horschel, Kurt. Like, I mean, give me Kurt. The guy played in Europe, has won in Europe. He played that specific golf course.
Okay, well, I'm in on Kurt.
He just played in Europe. He made the Elite 8 in the match play, did he not?
Done. Kurt's on the team. He played in Europe. And top 8.
He's number 6 right now, by the way. So he wouldn't even need a pick as it stands.
So we need Kurt to play. Well, yeah. Did you have any FOMO on Kurt at API?
No, it was just really good to see him win. Like, these are the guys, right? Like, you see the progression as they come through Europe and stuff like that. But no, I was just very happy to see him win.
You were just, yeah. Like, it is funny how it works in terms of, like, he's a very popular long shot to bet.
Yeah.
And then, like, the week that no one's on him, like, he wins. Like, that's just kind of how it.
It's just weird to, like, bet these guys at, like, 60-1 in Europe for years. And then, you know, he wins Bay Hill. Like, same thing happened with Hatton a few years ago when he won. And now it happened with Matt Wallace. Like, it's cool to see these guys. And it makes me miss Thomas Peters and that he never did it.
Did you listen to, I don't know if you're into that. Did you listen to his Foreplay interview?
Yeah, I don't normally listen to Foreplay, but I was actually driving for work for like 8 hours and I fired up every podcast known to man. So yes, I did.
What did you think of that that interview?
It was awesome. You know, that's who he is. He is very straightforward, down to earth. He does not give a shit what people say. Like, it's why he has not moved here and he has not played on the PGA Tour. He wants to play the biggest events and he did it for a long time and he probably took $50 million and he's got his family and he's happy to live in Belgium. Like, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I don't listen to Foreplay either. I listen when they have a good guest on. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll listen to this. They do have a scramble coming out against Adam Scott.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I saw
that. Yeah, like I liked what he said. Not everyone's a Hall of Famer, right? Not everyone is gonna have an awesome legacy, and he's totally cool with that. So
yeah. Yeah, no, I'm looking. He's not in the Masters, right?
He is in the Masters. He's in all the majors this year. All of them.
He's in all the majors. No, that'll be interesting to see. He can do something.
It's his last year, but he's in all the majors.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go into some of the long shots. I bet Hayden Buckley at 130-1. He broke my heart in Sony, and he's 100-1. I'll bet him. He's been awful, absolutely god awful. I don't care. He can turn it around this week. What is the case for Fratelli? Played well here last year. Does he have any form?
No, he does not. He does not have any form. But so he actually, I think he's 3-for-3 in cuts here. He had the top 10 last year. Yeah, like if you look, he's missed 3 of his last 4 cuts, but like whatever. I just like that he's got the spike week potential, right? Like he also has a 13th, a 14th, a 29th in that time. He played really well at the Waste Management. He gained strokes in all 4 categories. I think he finished top 15. And like that event was not that long ago. It was what, like 4 or 5 weeks ago? He's got the Texas ties. And again, he's 160-1. Like, what do I care? You know?
Yeah. No, I had the most plus EV bet of the week, and I bet it at 180-1, and I'm on Odds Checker right now, and I searched it, and it didn't come up because he moved to 250 to one. So I'm not quite sure, and I bet it on DraftKings, so I can't cash out. It's fine. It's okay, but Grayson Sigg, 250-1. That is plus EV. He gained like four strokes in approach on his last start. That's what JJ Spahn did before he won. He's at the same number. He shouldn't be 250-1. I think he has some morsel of upside.
I'm normally a big Sig guy for sure.
Okay, sweet.
My concerns, I don't even know when the last time he contended was. Was it like the 3M or something?
Yeah, it was a 3M.
It was something along. So like, yeah, doesn't contend a lot and just feels like the kind of guy who's going to rip off like an RSM, right?
Okay.
You know,
this is like basically,
but we're not in Georgia anymore, you know?
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I'm confused. I mean, he's 100-1 on Bet Rivers, which is a sharp book. So there's fucking value.
Yeah. Like, I think so the other thing that I'll say with Fratelli and really with all these guys is, so one of the things that I do, I go back and read previews from like the last couple of years. Like I'll read Ben Coley stuff from like 2019, 2020, 2021 on these golf courses, because you forget things, right? Like, and he really liked Fratelli like each of the last 3 years. So I'm like, all right, he's done enough this year. I'm not going to miss that. So it definitely helps to go back and like, I listen to old podcasts sometimes just to learn the course again.
And you hammered Kevin Chappell, playing well, won here, boom, done.
Got to do it.
Like, I mean, just, that was easy.
I'm a big Kevin Chappell fan, but yeah, like he's one of those, like people forget how good he was. Like he was like top 30 in the world type, you know, elite, elite driver of the golf ball, elite, elite ball striker. He was like Corey Connors, but longer, right? Okay. Like if Corey Connors added 20 yards, that was Kevin Chappell at his peak. So
does he only have one win?
Yes, here years ago, but he also has like four other top 30 finishes here. In the last 3 weeks, he went 29th at Honda, 15th at Puerto Rico, 16th at Punta Cana. And at Honda, he gained in all four categories. So again, boom, like
done.
That's the sort of stuff, like he's playing well. Like, is he going to win? Probably not, but that's why he's 250-1 or whatever.
And like
he
could cash you in each way.
He could cash me in each way. And I like rooting for Kevin Chappell. So whatever.
So were you on him when he won? I know Mayo always brings it up that he was like playing really well and then he was at horrible odds and no one bet him.
No, I was probably on the runner up. I think that was the year that he beat Finau and Brooks. So probably had one of them.
Okay. So just all pain. Wait, all so pain. What happened with the Chappell? Like he was playing really well and
I was playing really well. Kind of an unbettable number for a guy that's never won before, right? It's like in this field, if like, why are you not betting Davis Riley and Taylor Montgomery? It's kind of that situation. Okay. And he made like a 12 footer for birdie on the last hole to win. So that was painful.
Nice. Yeah. And then Brent Grant, like he's like the fiery guy, Florida guy. What is he up to?
Yeah. So again, he was playing really well on the West Coast. He had a 25th at Torrey Pines and a 20th at Pebble Beach. He withdrew from Honda. I guess he was sick. Then went back out 40th at Puerto Rico. Missed the cut at Valspar, but he gained 1.2 approach and almost a full shot off the tee. So it was all terrible putting. And then finished 8th last week at Corrales. I just think he's good. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. So again, I like betting guys who have won before. I think that helps. And he just makes a shit ton of birdies. So, and again, he's like 250-1. So you throw a few bucks on it and
have fun. You threw more than a few bucks on it.
Though. I did, but it's okay. Well, each way, you know, you got to double the bet.
Who bets for you like early in the morning?
That would be our friend Tambo. He's my mule.
Like every morning, like every Monday morning.
I wake up at 6 or 5:30 every Monday. I'll send you the text. I text him every Monday morning at like 5:30, 6 o'clock. I look at Bet365 because that's his. Yeah.
Use PayPal. Do you give him like a tip?
No, he usually gives me a tip. So because like I cover his podcast for him and I like to think that I provide value to him. he had both of the winners last week, I think. So
yeah, I so he was on those guys because of you?
I sent him my picks and he normally tails most of them. So
got it. Yeah, no, because I bet for a lot of people. People bet for me. I always like with the transfer and shit, I always, you know, give a little extra. Just because it's like annoying to do. But yeah, no, you're up at 6 on Monday, cards out by 8. Like how much research do you do like Sunday night? Or is it like just
honestly kinda... Yeah, honestly, not as much as I used to. Cause again, like as you get to know the courses and like the type of players, like most it's very rare to have a unknown winner at this point. Like even the guy last week who was 160-1.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad Todd had him, Ben Coley had him. Like people were on him. He was not sneaky per se. He was just a deeper odds guy. So like you kind of know where you're going and then you narrow it down based on the numbers. But honestly, like I started having to wake up earlier because those very sharp British bettors move the books. They move the lines because everybody tails them. So you kind of have to get it in before them.
Yeah.
I don't move the lines, but they do. So.
On to the real event of the week. Live Orlando, ?
Yeah.
So what's the deal with this course? You've played it. Apparently it's horrible. Like, is it a private course?
It's your standard, like, Florida sort of Orlando resort course. You know, it's got – I mean, it's flat. Not overly long. I think it's par 71. Not overly long. You got like some marshlands and palm trees and a bunch of sand. Like it's a Florida golf course. It's funny because like I was reading one of the live things and it was talking about all these cool elevation changes. Now you're in fucking Florida. There are no elevation changes. And yeah, so again, like I think you can bet anybody there. Like nobody's playing well. Nobody has a fucking idea who's going to win. It was funny when I looked at a Bovada this morning because they had the first odds out. They had all of the top guys at 14-1. They had no idea. They had Cam at 14-1. They had DJ 14-1. They had Answer at 14-1. Like, that's crazy. Like, why are we not just betting Cam and DJ? I don't know.
Did you bet one of them? Who did you bet?
No, I didn't. I bet because I'm an idiot. So I bet Mito. At 16, which is a pathetic number, but he just seems like the kind of guy who actually like wants to win one of these events. And you know, he's been playing okay. I bet your boy, Louis.
Why'd you bet him?
At 20.
I know he played well.
He played pretty well. He played well last week, made the playoff, lost to Danny Lee.
He blew it.
He only lives about an hour and a half from here. So, some hometown narratives here. And I bet Leishman at 40. I kind of regret that one, but
that was the one I'm like, I kind of like Leish. Yeah, he was playing well.
I think he was leading after round two, or was like right behind Charles Howell round two last week. And won at Bay Hill, so maybe he likes Orlando. I don't know, but I should have just bet like Cam and DJ and call it a day.
Yeah, like. Live betting, at least it's consistent in that like random people win that like you wouldn't know. Like I like that at least. Like I think it's like would be less compelling for bettors that are like degenerates that are betting it. If like the top guys just won, it's just a matter of kind of like betting them. But I mean, literally the last two winners are like bona fide losers, like people that like don't win. Or people that did not win on the PGA Tour.
And I don't like narratives at all, like, you know, as like blanket statements. But if someone was paying you a shit ton of money to basically, it doesn't matter how well you do your job, and you have the Masters coming up in a few days, are you going to give a shit about this event? Probably not.
Yeah, but wouldn't you, like, I think the big reason, like, the only reason Liv is, like, half compelling this week is because people want to see how Cam and DJ play before the Masters. Like, that's it. Like, that is, which is not how a league is supposed to be successful, whatever. I'm not going to get into a whole, like, Liv thing. But, like, Cam and DJ just have been completely underwhelming this year in Liv. And, you know, the Masters is literally next week. Do you think that these guys, Cam or DJ have a chance to win the Masters with how they've been playing. Let's say they finish, both finish 20th this week, which is like 40th on a regular PGA Tour event. Do you think either of them can win the Masters? Not like, yeah, they could be around. Like, do you think Cam or DJ can win the Masters this year?
Absolutely not. No. And I think, I mean, I think it's more of a product of how are they going to beat Rory, Rahm, and Scheffler? They're just probably not, you know? If I had to pick one, like, probably trust Cam a little bit more just because he's got the short game and we know how well he plays that golf course. But, and, you know, he just won the Players and the TOC and the Open last year. But no, I do not think either of them will win.
I am with you 100%. Like, yeah. I genuinely don't think they have any chance to win. And I think it's more specific to this event. Two of the last mm-hmm. three Masters winners were easily by far the best golfer in the world on like really good runs. Like, yeah. And they went into the Masters and they won. That's not a coincidence. Like, that is not like random. Like, a lot of times the hottest golfer in the world wins the Masters. Cam Smith last year was off a Players win and a TOC win, beating the best yep. golfers in the world, and he still didn't win at Augusta. And now he's finishing T20 at Live Tucson. Like, I just don't see that happening. And it's not like, oh, well, like, he's, you know, a top five player in the world, if you can call him that. Like, he's just gonna like show up and like he'll like care and he'll do it. Like, I just don't see that happening. And I would be
there's probably three players, maybe two, but probably three players who are like not in like the top 10 in odds who can win this. And again, I think probably a stretch, but number one is Jason Day, right? And again, he's now basically, he is top 10 in odds. He's kind of drifted that way. I would say number two is, and this one's probably risky, Justin Rose. I think I've seen enough from him that like that is probably as deep of an outsider as you would probably see. And then number three would be Tiger. And it's not like I would pick him to win, but you know, would you be surprised if he played really well and contended? Probably not. But I just look at how well all the top guys are playing. Even when you go down to that, like Cam Young, Sam Burns, Finau, Xander, Range, you know, I just don't see anybody else winning. It's just impossible.
Yeah, I my prediction, again, I don't care what they do this week. I think the Masters is going to be a massive fail for Liv. And I think it's going to be embarrassing for them. And I that is what my take is. I'm a huge Liv. I'm a huge snowflake. Like, I hate Liv. No. Like, I just, I don't think, and I think most realistic people believe that. Like, I think that.
I'll tell you, the most embarrassing one is going to be Bryson, considering how bad he's playing.
It's insane. It's like legitimately insane.
Like, yeah, like I would on if I had to pick one guy for the low live player next week, I would honestly probably say Louis. He's like the one guy that I just trust to like not give a shit, show up, play pretty well. He might finish 12th or 8th or something like that. But no, I don't trust any of those guys
next week. I'll tell you on that. I'll tell you like a nice like 9-1 Louis Lewis like finisher.
There you go.
Like, I'm down.
I'm sure the market will be there. So
yeah, it should be. RB, aka Meets, pleasure to have you on TIB tonight. Looking forward to the Masters. You doing any content for the Masters as of yet?
I'm doing somebody's pod. Golf Gambling. Those guys. I'm doing their pod next week. But no written content anymore. I'll just, you know, put my card out. I probably don't have to rush Monday morning because I'm not rushing to bet anything. So.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. Unfortunately,
I'm catching drifts on Xander.
I have a day 50. So
that's a good like, one. I slept on all that.
Here, my thing about it is that if Day couldn't win the Masters at the height of his powers, like he's going to do it now.
He's almost playing.
So like I don't. Like,
he's almost playing that well. It's just that there are guys that are better. Like he is not that far off of where he was in 2016, 2017. But Scotty, Rahm, and Rory are just better. Like it's just is what it is.
We shall see. That's it. Just tough. Like people knowing me as like a golf better, and like already getting emails from work people like, who do you like for the Masters? Like, who is, I'm like, yo, like, there's like three guys that can win and they're fucking 8-1. And
I get the text every week for like office pools. Like, hey, who am I taking to my Masters office? I'm like, I don't care. Take whoever you want.
Yeah. It's tough. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Valera this week. Yeah. It would be really great if I could like win a bet. Like that would be really great for me.
Well, let's win. Yeah.
I'll bet Louis.
Yeah.
Like the three biggest losers on Liv to win the first three events.
I think Rivers had a 28. So you take the each way. Like that's a fine price with the places. I think they're given five places, which is crazy for a, 48 man field. So
yeah, I'm down. I'm betting Louis. Isles scored. Let's go. They're up 2-1. RB, have a wonderful night. I wish you the best with your bets and everything in life. And I hope you play some great golf this summer. All right. We'll see you next week.
I will chat with you again soon. See you, buddy.
Okay. Be good.